to get out the vote and even the score. When the GOP is leaving, I hope that they don't hit their heads on the door. Bush says he cares about the middle class, but the giant corporations get all the cash. We got a $500 billion deficit. It's time to make the Republicans quit.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney, bringing you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. And the sound of that special music, Kick Out the Republicans by Donnie Daly of Los Angeles, a dedicated listener of the Inside Scoop, means that today is Election Tuesday. This Tuesday and every Tuesday from now until that most important November 2nd Tuesday, the first Tuesday in November, where hopefully we do kick out the Republicans, we here at the Inside Scoop are going to explore election news, particularly all the news from Washington on the election that the government does not want you to know. And one of the main things I think that the Republicans don't want you to know is how much Ralph Nader helped George W. Bush in the 2000 election and how much he's helping them today. In fact, current polls show that if Nader were not in the race, Kerry would have a small but significant lead over President Bush. Indeed, every poll taken since Kerry won the nomination without Nader in the race shows Kerry in the lead, some by as much as 4 or 5 points, some by as little as 1 or 2 points. However, the polls today with Nader in the race, and Ralph Nader has, of course, declared that he is in the race, show Kerry behind by a small but significant number. Now, Kerry with Nader in the race has sometimes been ahead, sometimes been behind. But there can be no doubt that Ralph Nader takes more from the Kerry campaign than he does from George W. Bush. And as such, Nader is doing what he always does, helping Republicans win. Now, that may seem like an extreme statement, and I'm definitely going to give the other side a chance to respond. The campaign spokesman for the Ralph Nader campaign will be on the air with me for most of the hour. And his name is Kevin Zeese. Like I said, he is the campaign spokesman for the Ralph Nader campaign. And you also will have your chance to question me, to challenge me, to question Kevin Zeese, to find out why Ralph Nader is in the race at all, and does he really prefer to see Bush elected over Kerry. If you want to join in the debate, I urge you to do so. The number here is 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP. Call in and let us know, do you support Ralph Nader? If so, why? Are you angry at him for giving the 2000 election to Bush? Do you think I'm full of it for making that claim? Let's go through some of the history of Ralph Nader before we go ahead and bring Kevin Zeese on the air. Ralph Nader has a long history of seeing the good as the enemy of the perfect. In other words, Ralph Nader thinks that if everything can't be absolutely perfect the way he wants it, he's against it. And that actually dates way back to the 1960s. In fact, in the 1960s, Nader condemned Muskie, Edmund Muskie of Michigan, who is certainly a well-known liberal speaker, a person, congressman, someone who ran for vice president. Ed Muskie has always been known as someone looking out for liberal interests, and in fact, he engineered the Air Quality Act of 1967, the act that today protects our air from pollution. But Nader didn't think it was good enough, and indeed, he called the act disastrous. And this isn't his only example. As we go into the 1970s, Nader supported creating a consumer protection agency that would actually protect consumers from some of the harms that he'd been talking about at General Motors and elsewhere. And so Congress actually passed the bill, Consumer Protection Agency. But Nader was very much against it. It wasn't the perfect bill he wanted, and he said that because it wasn't perfect, the bill was unacceptable. In fact, the Consumer Protection Agency passed either the House or the Senate 5 times over 6 years. Indeed, liberal consumer activist, former Nader associate Mike Perchik, had told John Martin, who was the author of the biography of Ralph Nader called Nader, Crusader, Spoiler, Icon. It's a really well-regarded biography in 2002. Martin was told that the reason why we don't have a consumer protection agency today is because Ralph Nader was holding out for the perfect bill. Even House Speaker Tip O'Neill has said to the Washington Post that he knows of 8 clear votes that they lost because of Ralph Nader, because he didn't want the bill unless it was absolutely perfect. Nader went on to condemn Jimmy Carter, whose Traffic Safety Administration wanted airbag regulations. He felt that it took too much time to get those airbag regulations in place, so he condemned very much Jimmy Carter. And when asked if condemning Jimmy Carter might lead to Ronald Reagan becoming president, he told the Washington Post, quote, Reagan is going to breed the biggest resurgence in nonpartisan citizen activism in history. Yes, Ralph Nader seems to have actively hoped that Ronald Reagan would win. And this, of course, continued on to the 2000 race. Ralph Nader was given a clear choice. He could either go and campaign in the states that were not very competitive. He could have gone to Massachusetts, a very liberal state that everyone knew was going for Gore, or New York or California. He could have campaigned in the more conservative states that everyone thought were going to Bush, like Texas and Utah and Alaska. And in fact, his campaign had a split. Most, it seems, in his campaign wanted him to focus on the uncontested states. It was felt that there he could try to win 5% of the vote, which would have given him enough campaign funds to allow the Green Party to become a significant third party in America, and that if he ran in the contested states, states like Florida and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, he might actually tip the election to Bush. Ralph Nader made his position clear. Calling Gore and Bush Tweedledum and Tweedledee, he actively worked to help Bush win the election. That last weekend, before the Tuesday, where Al Gore beat Bush by 500,000 votes, but the vote was so close in Florida that the Republicans were allowed to steal the election there. Guess where Ralph Nader was? Where was he that weekend? He was in Florida, campaigning the entire weekend, trying desperately to take votes away from Gore and for himself. Now, again, he could have done that in Massachusetts. He could have done that in New York. He did it in Florida, and he got 97,000 votes. And even the most optimistic Republican doesn't put Bush's lead over Gore in Florida more than 537. Most of us know, of course, that Gore won tens of thousands more votes in Florida than Bush. But, you know, when it's close, the Republicans can cheat. Katherine Harris kept 50,000 black Floridians from the voting rolls. We had 10,000 Jewish voters in Palm Beach County voting for Buchanan due to the incompetence of the officials there. We had black voters in Tallahassee prevented from voting by police barricades. We had Army voters, people from the Army, where 80% of the Republican votes were counted and only 20% of the Democratic votes. Between all these shenanigans, the Republicans managed to just eke out a victory. If Ralph Nader hadn't been running, they never could have stolen the election, and Gore would have been president today. But Nader has made it clear that he didn't want Gore president. In fact, it seems that he very much wanted Bush president instead. It seems that Ralph Nader believes that he has no power when a Democrat is elected because, well, liberals within the Democratic Party push the party leftward and moderates, you know, push the party rightward, but Ralph Nader refuses to join the Democratic Party. He refuses, like some liberals, like Dennis Kucinich or Howard Dean, for that matter, to fight within the Democratic Party. He wants to fight on his own, so he very much doesn't like Democratic Party control. And therefore, he knows that he has more power to condemn and complain if we've got people like Bush in power. And so, in election after election, Ralph Nader swings the election toward the Republicans. We have Republicans who know that very well. As much as Ralph Nader complains about corporate influence, and the fact, of course, and he claims that Republicans and Democrats are both very much under the sway of corporations, it's a fact that the corporations spend 5 to 10 times as much on the Republicans as they do on the Democrats. But there's one other candidate that gets a lot of support from corporations. That is Ralph Nader. In fact, the Republican Leadership Council, which is a front group for pro-Bush businesses, paid for television ads in swing states that consist of Nader criticizing Gore. Indeed, in Minnesota, a large part of the Nader support came from Bush supporting Republicans. And today, we have at least 10% of Nader's high funds coming in, those funds over $250, show that Nader is getting them from people like Ben Stein, from pro-Bush supporters. Indeed, I haven't heard of any Republicans that support Nader that don't hope Bush wins in the end. So, should Ralph Nader's slogan be 4 more years? I mean, it seems to me that Ralph Nader is doing everything he can to elect George Bush. And he, perhaps, has more power to elect George Bush than Dick Cheney or anyone else. If you vote for Nader, you vote for Bush. That's my rant. If you disagree with me, you call in. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It'll have your chance to either disagree with me or to disagree with Ralph Nader, campaign spokesman. He's coming on the air after the commercial break. His name is Kevin Zeitz, and I certainly expect him to defend Ralph Nader to the fullest and tell you why you should vote for him. And I will be asking the tough questions, because it seems to me part of giving the inside scoop is learning what we really need to know. And part of that is, this is not a battle in America between moderate Democrats, liberal Democrats, and leftist Democrats. That would be an interesting battle to have. That's the kind of battle perhaps they have in Europe. But you've got to remember that more than 40% of Americans, probably more than 45%, are rock-rib conservatives that are going to vote for George Bush no matter what. And it comes down to, do you want to vote for Nader and, I don't know, feel good and elect George Bush? Or do you want to vote for John Kerry, a very good Democratic candidate that perhaps doesn't have some of the anger that Nader has? That's your choice, and I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Am I wrong here, folks? Am I wrong? 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. When we come back, we will have Nader campaign spokesman Kevin Zeitz weathering my questions about why Ralph Nader is in the race at all. Back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
If Alan Greenspan was a medical doctor, he'd be considered a dangerous quack, and his license to practice would have been yanked long ago. Instead, he's an economist, the unelected head of America's monetary system, and his quackery is not only tolerated but lauded by the powers that be, who've been using him to bilk the middle class. Greenspan's trail of quackery begins back in 1983. When he chaired a commission that persuaded Congress to raise the Social Security taxes of working folks. This radical surgery was necessary, Alan said, to create a surplus to assure that future retirees would get the benefits they're due. Quack. But instead of locking these surpluses away for future retirees, Greenspan left them open to raids by any president needing a quick pile of cash for a pet political project. The latest to make the raid is George W., who dove headfirst into our Social Security surplus to pull out the billions he needed to pay for his tax giveaways to the rich. Greenspan himself told Congress that such tax cuts were necessary to, believe it or not, prevent the buildup of government surpluses. Even though the bulk of the tax giveaways went to the richest people, Greenspan promised that this would not harm working families counting on their Social Security benefits for their retirement. Quack, quack. Just recently, the quack was back, urgently telling Congress that because of out-of-control budget deficits, Congress must now slash Social Security payouts as soon as possible. He urged that every retiree's benefits be cut and that the retirement age be raised. Quack, quack, quack. In his 20 years of practicing economic voodoo, here's what the mad doctor has achieved. Working people had their Social Security taxes raised so rich people could have their income taxes slashed, which he now says means that working people must have their Social Security payments cut. This is Jim Hightower saying, this quack has done enough harm. It's time to yank his license.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
The Republicans could take the rejection. They counted the votes in a web of deception. The GOP stole the election.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington that the government does not want you to know. And today, of course, is Election Tuesday, where every Tuesday from now till that most important Tuesday in November, we discuss what's going on in the presidential race, races for Congress. We've had on the air, of course, the Republican National Committee spokesman. I've sparred with them. We've had John Kerry spokespeople on the air. And now I bring to you the third candidate running in the presidential race. I don't bring the candidate, actually. I bring to you Kevin Zeese. He's the campaign spokesman for the Ralph Vernader President campaign. Kevin, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Tell me this. Why is Ralph Nader running for president?
Two reasons. One, he wants to help make sure Bush Incorporated leaves the White House. And secondly, he wants to make sure that there's a progressive populist issues in the debate for presidency this year.
Okay, well, if he wants Bush to leave the White House, then why won't he campaign and then at the end throw his support to John Kerry? I read, for example, in Michael Moore's books, Angry White Men, Michael Moore used to support Ralph Nader. He did, in fact, in the 2000 election. But he argued that as things got very close and it was clear that Gore and Bush were going to have a very close election, that Ralph Nader, at the end of that 2000 campaign, should have thrown his support for Gore, maybe made a deal with Gore where Gore would appoint him as a cabinet member, maybe EPA head, and that way he would get out of the race, Gore would be president today, and Ralph Nader's views would survive to actually be in the administration. Why didn't Nader take that deal?
Well, I'll tell you, this is not 2000, it's 2004, and the Democrats are out of power, so they're united to take anybody but Bush. The Republicans are in power, and Bush's base can be broken apart because he's gone beyond what his core group wants. And so Ralph thinks that he can attack more effectively. He thinks that he can tell the truth about Bush in ways that the public will understand and that he can take votes away from Bush. Ralph's not a deal maker. Ralph, you know, to get on the ballot as an independent, it takes about 1.5 million signatures. That's a lot of people standing on street corners collecting signatures for you. And then at the last minute to say, sorry, just a joke, I'm backing out, really is not fair to those people who volunteer like that. That's not a way to build a political movement. You want to be consistent and say what you mean. Ralph is in this to the end. The key for Kerry is, as he says, he wants to take votes away from Ralph. Do so. Stand for progressive issues. But at the same time, Ralph focuses on the incumbent president. He's going to attack his record, criticize it, tell the public what the truth is about it, and he's going to undermine Bush's base.
Okay, let me give out the phone number for anyone that wants to call in. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. Call in, take on Kevin Zeese, take me on. This is your radio station. This is your chance to call in and be heard. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Kevin, in 2000, Nader said there was no difference between Gore and Bush. It was Tweedledee and Tweedledum, as he so elegantly put it. Does Ralph Nader believe today that there's no difference between Bush and Kerry?
Ralph thinks that Kerry would be a better president than Bush, and he'd be especially a good president if the citizens are organized to push him toward good positions. Right now, Kerry gets primarily pushed by the big money contributors, the corporate donors, and that is influencing his campaign, I think, in negative ways. If the people are organized, Kerry could be a very good president, but the people have to push him.
Speaking of corporate donors, is Ralph Nader going to refuse to take money and denounce ads from corporations that support the Republican Party? For example, in 2000, we have the Republican Leadership Council that paid for television ads in swing states that consisted of Nader criticizing Gore. Well, will Nader refuse that kind of support in this election?
Ralph didn't accept that support in that last election either. That was people do things independently. You can't stop them. But Ralph does not. Ralph is not taking money from the Republican Party. There's no Republican Party effort to organize to fund Ralph. We've been successful, though, in raising enough money now to apply for federal matching funds. That requires over 20 states with $5,000 in contributions of under $250 each, and we've succeeded to be 2 months ahead of schedule compared to the last campaign.
Okay, but Kevin, back up a minute. Wait a minute. In 2000, Nader certainly could have come on the air and denounced these Republicans and said, you know what, I don't support these ads. I don't agree with these ads. Take these ads down. He could have done his own ads attacking the Republicans who were supporting his campaign as a way to hurt Gore, and he didn't do that. So I think it's a little disingenuous when you say, oh, well, there was nothing he could do about it.
Ralph is totally critical of the Republican Party. He's totally critical of their all sorts of activities that they stand for. So I wasn't here in 2000. I can't tell you what really happened then. I mean, I'm not sure if your recitation of the facts is correct at all. But I can tell you Ralph is very critical of the Republican Party.
Okay, well, right now, in fact, a study's done, and I'm sure you're aware of this, in the 2004 election that shows that 10% of the money of the contributions over $250 to Ralph Nader come from Republicans, people like Ben Stein, who've made it clear that he supports George Bush.
Well, Ben Stein's a great example because Ben Stein and Ralph have worked together on issues for about 10 years.
But Ben Stein's endorsed President Bush for president. Doesn't Ben Stein think that by helping Nader, he's helping Bush?
No, Ben Stein and Ralph have known each other for more than 10 years. They've worked together on all sorts of issues. Ben Stein has, in fact, the article you're talking about found a total of 24 people who have contributed to both Nader and Republicans. They interviewed all 24. Not one of them said they were doing it to help Kerry. The New York Times also reviewed that. They found less people.
You mean they didn't say they were doing it to help Bush? Because
They did because they agreed with a number of reasons. The reasons they gave were they didn't like the way that the people were trying to keep Nader off the ballot. That was anti-democratic. They didn't like, they liked some of the positions Ralph took on taxation. They liked some of the positions Ralph took on corporate accountability. They agreed with Ralph on positions. You know, if you want to look at overlapping donations, you should look more closely at Bush and Kerry. Of Kerry's top 20 donors, 10 also give to Bush. Is that because they want to help Kerry or help Bush, or because they want to buy both?
Well, probably because they want to play off both sides, as corporations always do. But what's interesting to me is that, like, for example, one of the donors is frozen food magnate Gino Polici, who's given more than $150,000 to Republicans. And Ben Stein, I know he's written for the American Spectator. I mean, this is not exactly
Stein was just quoted in the paper last week explaining what he'd like to see. He would like to see an attack on corporate crime and abuse. No one else is advocating that except for Ralph Nader. He said that if Ralph Nader gets into the debates and can make that one point, his contribution will be worth it. And you can go through every one of these donors and find that same kind of rationale. They believe what Ralph stands for.
Yeah, but why isn't
Ralph
Ben Stein endorsing Ralph Nader?
Let me make this point to you. Ralph cuts across the political spectrum. Last time when he ran for office in New Hampshire, for example, one of the very close states, he had twice as many votes from registered Republicans as from Democrats. So Ralph cuts across the political spectrum. He does not just get support from Democrats.
Well, he gets support from primarily from Democrats. Let me ask you this. No,
it's not true. He gets his support. 60% of his voters would not vote for either Republican or Democratic Party.
And the other 40?
The other 40 were divided between Republicans and Democrats.
And most of them were what?
It was about 25, depends which poll you look at. It ranged from about 20 to 25% Republican to about 35 to 40% Democratic.
Right, so
but
he takes from Democrats more than
not voting for either party.
The point is,
this country is not owned by two parties. People have a right to run, and Ralph is standing for things that neither party is standing for. For example, neither candidate advocates getting out of Iraq. Ralph does. Neither candidate advocates to have some inconsistencies with Israeli policy. Ralph does.
Let me ask you this, Kevin.
Advocates repeal the Patriot Act. Ralph does.
Let me ask you this, Kevin.
Neither candidate advocates supporting Kyoto. Ralph does.
Let me tell you. Well, hold on.
There
is a candidate that ran in the Democratic primaries that supported getting out of Iraq, that supported a Department of Peace. His name is Dennis. Well, hold on. Let me make my point, then you can respond. That's Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich. Well, hold on. Dennis Kucinich. Well, let me make my point, then you can respond. Dennis Kucinich ran in the Democratic Party. He competed. He ran in all. In fact, as far as I know, he's still running. He's not out of the race. He is still competing in every Democratic primary that's out there. And he ran within the Democratic Party, and he lost. But he fought hard. And I think Democrats respect Dennis Kucinich for the views he has, and he got a certain number of votes. Why can't Ralph Nader? And I understand that, by the way, in Iowa, Ralph Nader was looking into running in the Iowa caucuses. Why didn't he run as a Democrat? I mean, I think you would agree.
I'll tell you why.
Well, hold on. I would hope you would agree
that the
ideals of the Democratic Party are closer to Ralph Nader's ideals than the ideals of the Republican Party.
Unfortunately, that's less and less true. The Democrats are becoming more Republican-like every day, and John Kerry is more Bush-like every day. It's unfortunate, but true. In fact, during the primaries, Ralph suggested the Democrats vote for Kucinich. He was very supportive of Kucinich. So that you know, understands that Dennis is right on many issues. But unfortunately, no one's going to be in the race in September, October, November, except for Bush, Kerry, and Nader, as far as major people will get attention. So Nader will be the only one out there advocating these positions when the voters are paying attention. The Democratic Party
and
the
if race, Nader,
they only
and,
are focused on the Democratic Party.
And if Nader helps
the country.
If Nader helps elect Bush in 2004, he'll just see that as, well, that's life? Or does he actually, if as happened in 2000, the Nader vote turns to elect Bush in 2004, Nader will just say, oh, well, I gave it my best shot, and it's okay with me that Bush is president?
I'll tell you what's happening right now, the way the race is going so far, Kerry is blowing it. He is getting more and more Bush-like every day.
Well, he has to. He has to move to the middle.
So to blame, to predict that because Nader's running is why Kerry's going to lose, I'd say you can look at Kerry's record right now and say if Kerry loses because Kerry's running such a poor race.
But how do you explain the polls, Kevin, that show that without Nader in the race, Kerry beats Bush, and with Nader in the race right now, you're right, Kerry's losing to Bush. How do you explain those polls?
It depends on where you look. I mean, take, for example, West Virginia, which is a key swing state. The polls there show that without Nader in the race, Bush wins. With Nader in the race, it's a tie. So in that state, Nader's helping to defeat Bush. And you can look at different states and find different. In New Hampshire, the polls right now show more than twice of Nader's support come from Republicans than from Democrats. So it depends where you look. It's a 50-state race.
So you think, in essence, that if Republicans support Nader more than Democrats, that actually Nader's a closet Republican? I mean, how does it...
No, what it means is that many Republicans are upset that the Bush administration is destroying the Constitution. They're upset that jobs are going overseas.
But why would...
They're upset.
Why wouldn't they vote for John Kerry, who's very much has a plan to help Democrats? John Kerry has a plan to prevent jobs from going overseas, to end the tax cuts for corporations that bring jobs overseas. He's very much, he supports more of the anti-globalization crowd than certainly Clinton ever did. You know, why can't Ralph Nader stand behind this effort as other Democrats have done?
Because John Kerry voted for the trade agreements that have sent jobs overseas. John Kerry voted for the Patriot Act that destroyed the Constitution. John Kerry voted for the Iraq War that has sent us into an unnecessary war of choice. John Kerry has now come out in support of Sharon's policies in Israel that violate UN sanctions. John Kerry's wrong on many issues, unfortunately. You sound better than John Kerry does. John Kerry does not stand for what you just said he stood for. His record is not consistent with what you're saying. So Ralph Nader is the only person in the race till November who stands for getting out of Iraq, who stands for reversing the Patriot Act, who stands for reversing the trade agreements that are sending jobs overseas. Ralph Nader is the candidate who's working for ending poverty in this country, for a living wage, for union organizing. No one else stands for those issues.
Well, I actually disagree very strongly. I think John Kerry stands on all those issues. But let me ask you a question. Absolutely, every one of them. He supports for reforming the Patriot Act. He supports...
That's a nonsensical lie. John Kerry voted for the Patriot Act, didn't he?
The Patriot Act is not all bad.
Did he vote for John? Okay, you agree.
It's not all bad.
We have a different opinion there. You like the Patriot Act, I don't.
Okay, I didn't say I like the Patriot Act. No, wait a minute. No, wait, don't twist my words. I happen to work on the Patriot Act. I worked on the House Judiciary Committee at the time for the Democrats. We worked on the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is not all bad. There are good things in it and there are bad things in it. The good things in it are they allow the FBI and the CIA to share intelligence. I don't think anyone is against that. The bad things in it are they go and they invade people's privacy. Kerry is for reforming the bad parts of the Patriot Act, but he supports the good parts of the Patriot Act.
Somebody in the race who has a different opinion who thinks the Patriot Act should be repealed. Okay, so that's a difference of opinion we can have. I'm just pointing out to you that John Kerry is not as pure as you think he is. Who voted for the war? How did John Kerry vote on that?
But don't you see that
purity... How did
purity...
John Kerry vote on the war?
He voted to give Bush the opportunity to go to seek sanctions from the United Nations.
And the problem... What's the current view in the war? His current view is stay the course, send more troops. Is that a good... That's a view you support? Fine. I don't support that view. I don't want to vote for that view. I want to vote for someone I believe in. I believe in what Ralph stands for, which is withdrawal from Iraq.
And you think that voting for Ralph Nader, even if George Bush gets elected, and I won't say reelected because we all know he got there by being appointed by the Supreme Court, even if George Bush becomes president for 4 years, you'll have stayed pure, right, Kevin? You'll have voted your conscience, and Bush will be president, and all will be well in the world because then Ralph Nader can be pure.
Listen,
he can say, I'm the anti-Bush.
I don't understand your confidence in the Democrats' ability to beat Republicans. They certainly have not done anything in recent years to support that view. Take Maryland, for instance. We have not had a Republican governor since Spiro Agnew. We have one now. Why? Because we had a Democratic candidate who ran like a Republican. Take California, another Democratic stronghold, Republican governor. Massachusetts, another Democratic stronghold, Republican governor. New York, another Democratic stronghold, Republican governor. Illinois,
yes.
Another Democratic stronghold, had a Republican governor until he got indicted. I mean, the Democrats have shown they cannot beat Republicans. Ralph, in the race, will do a better job of making Kerry a better candidate because he will not be able to take his base for granted. They have to stand for something progressive and populist and not just corporate Democrat. And instead, it will also be able to attack Bush in ways that Kerry can't. For example, I'll just give you two examples of parts of Bush's base that Nader can take that Kerry can't. One, Muslims and Arabs. Last time a majority voted for Bush. They're not going to vote for Kerry because Kerry's wrong on all the issues.
They certainly will vote for Kerry because I think that they understand that if you vote for Nader, it's a vote for Bush. I mean, wait a minute. You can go and you can vote for your Green candidate in the local race, in the mayoral race, absolutely. But unless you tell me, Kevin Zeese, that Nader is going to win the election, then by definition, every vote for Nader takes away a vote from the alternative to Bush, is John Kerry.
What if he's taking votes away from Bush? That wouldn't go to Kerry. What if he's weakening Bush's base?
Well, if he's taking votes away from Bush, then he must have the same ideas as Bush.
Yes,
you can't argue that right-wingers are going to suddenly go for Ralph Nader unless you argue that Nader's a closet right-winger. It doesn't make any sense, Kevin.
You're just so full of nonsense. It's amazing. The Republican Party.
Well, you can insult me, but we know what happened in 2000. My goal, as the election music says, is to kick out the Republicans. And I would hope that it's the goal of all progressives to kick out the Republicans. I will give you your say, Kevin. We got to go to a commercial break. If you want to join in this spirited discussion, please do. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Join in. Take on me. Take on Kevin. That's what democracy is all about. Call in or write MARK at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
They counted the votes in a web of deception. The GOP stole the election. The Republicans. It's a good thing that Saddam was captured, hiding in a hole just like a rat would. Now they're saying that the war went on because their intelligence was wrong. Was the reason for war based on lies and corruption? Where are the weapons of mass destruction? They counted the votes in a web of
of deception. The GOP stole the election. It's a good thing that Saddam was captured, hiding in a hole just like a rat would. Now they're saying that the war went on because their intelligence was wrong. Was the reason for war based on lies and corruption? Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, having quite a spirited debate with the campaign spokesman for the Ralph Nader for President campaign. I'm arguing that Ralph Nader is hurting John Kerry and is actually most likely to lead to George Bush's election in the fall. We've got Kevin Zeese arguing that Nader's positions are good and that he actually, Nader even takes more votes from Republicans than Democrats. And we also got callers on the line. If you want to call in, please join in this discussion. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also send me an email by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Kevin, I want to ask you, in 2000, as the race came down to the end, you had two third-party candidates, of course, Pat Buchanan and Ralph Nader. And Pat Buchanan decided that he was going to target states where really there was no contest, states like Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island on the liberal side, states like Alaska and Texas on the conservative side, because he was just trying to get 5% of the vote for the Reform Party. My understanding from Justin Martin's 2002 biography of Ralph Nader is that there was a split in the campaign and that Ralph Nader decided he wasn't going to go for the states that really couldn't make a difference in the election. He very much wanted to play a role in changing the outcome of the election, and that's why he went to Florida, that's why he went to Wisconsin, that's why he went to all those very close states, and indeed he did make a difference. He did help elect Bush. Now, if Ralph Nader truly wants, as he says today, to impeach George Bush, why is it that he worked at least so hard in 2000 in the contested states rather than the uncontested states?
Ralph spent a whole total of 2.5 days in Florida in the whole last election, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he spent it the weekend before the Tuesday.
Listen, wait, where were those two days?
Wait a minute. When were those 2 days? It was the weekend before the Tuesday.
Listen to me. You had a long monologue at the close of the last section I had to respond to.
Okay, but just to be clear, the 2 days you spent in Florida were the weekend prior to Election Day.
Well, let me just respond to your monologue from the last closing when you didn't give me a chance to speak.
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't really appreciate being on shows where the host hogs the microphone and doesn't let guests speak. So I refer to
I think I've given you plenty of time to speak.
Opportunity, do you?
I think I've given you plenty of time to speak.
Okay, let me respond to your quote that Ralph was a Republican and that he was actually...
I didn't say he was a Republican.
Supported Republican views. My point was that you have to take the Republican Party and look at it in various pieces. It's not a monolith. Of course, there are the evangelical Republicans, and there are the military-industrial Republicans, and the oil company Republicans, and Ralph does not expect to get those votes. But if you look at other parts of the Republican base, you can see how Ralph could get those votes. I mentioned the Muslim and Arab community. Majority voted for Bush last time. They're not going to vote for Kerry because Kerry is pro-Israel, pro-Iraq war, pro-Patriot Act, so they're not going to get his, he's not going to get a lot of their support. But Nader can pull those votes away from Bush. Without Nader in the race, many of them would vote for Bush because Bush is right on other issues they care about, like abortion. On a second, another example, Reform Party. A majority last time of those voted for Bush. Now they're urging Ralph to run as their standard bearer. They want him
they
to
voted
be,
for Pat Buchanan last time.
Can you interrupt me or let me finish?
Well, no, but I mean, you're really arguing that Buchanan and Nader have the same pool of voters?
There are overlaps with some of their views. They're both anti-deficit. They're both anti-jobs going overseas. They're both anti-trade agreement. They're both against the Iraq war. They're both against the Patriot Act. So there is overlap. There's disagreement, too, but there's enough agreement. Another example, I'll just give you some other, to make sure you see that the Republican Party is not a monolith. You can also look at the New England liberal Republicans, the McCain Republicans, Libertarian Republicans, the Sierra Club Republicans. Now, some of those may go to Kerry, but many of those will not want to go all the way to the Democratic Party. But Ralph can pull those people away from Bush's base and weaken his base. But in the end, it comes down to this. We're not going to solve this country's problems with only a two-party system. We need to have a multi-party system.
Yeah, but Kevin,
we need to break this system apart in order to get it. Right now we have two parties.
I understand, Kevin. I want to get to my callers, but we have a problem where we have a constitution that, rightly or wrongly, and I'm sure you think it's wrong, but the way the constitution works is if you win a plurality, if you get 30% of a state's electoral votes, of a state's vote, if that's the highest number, you win. We don't have runoff voting. Now, I will agree with you that we need runoff voting. I will agree with you that would protect third parties. That would be a good thing. But that's not the way the system is now. And unless we amend state laws, it's not going to be that system. The way the system works now, Ralph Nader only hurts overwhelmingly hurts the Democrats. I want to get to one of our callers.
Your point to realize that Ralph actually hurts Republicans as well.
But you just admitted to me. You admitted to me, Kevin, in the early part of this outset that even under your figures, Ralph Nader took more from Gore than Bush in 2000. So that's even under your figures.
There's an exit poll from CNN out of Florida last time that shows that if Ralph Nader was not in the race, it was 49-47 Bush winning. With Ralph Nader in the race, as we know, it was virtually a tie.
I don't buy it at all, but I'll tell you what. If you have that poll, you email it to me, and if you're right, I will announce it on air tomorrow. I promise. Let me go to one of our callers.
Air, so who cares?
Okay. What's that? if you're right, then our listeners should hear
you're
the
not
truth.
Really convincible. You're obviously an anybody but Bush Democrat.
I am an anybody but I and you know what? I admit it. I am an anybody but Bush Democrat, but my list, I admit it. I'm definitely an anybody but Bush Democrat. But we do have listeners on the air that might be persuaded by you or might be persuaded by me. Let's get to one of them that's been holding on air a long time. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Kevin Zeese. How are you?
Good. This is Bert from Minnesota.
Hi, Bert from Minnesota. What's your question, comment, or challenge for one of us?
Well, it's to Kevin, and basically I was just going to ask, why did his candidate go all the way through the election in 2000? I mean, if this guy is... all the polls and saying that he was taking more away from Democrats. You've got polls this election cycle saying he's taking more away from Democrats. I'd love to know why, if he was going for all these progressive values, did he go all the way through the election? Why didn't he run as the challenge, trying to put the debate over into the left? And then when that was done, when his usefulness, no offense,
I'll be happy to answer the question.
Over, why did he continue?
Because tens of thousands of volunteers stood on street corners to have Ralph Nader on the ballot. Because tens of thousands of volunteers said, we want to vote for you, Ralph Nader. Please don't drop out. Because Ralph Nader is loyal to the people who are loyal to him.
Okay, but
10 million Americans who need someone who need the adults in charge in the United States.
Well, if Al Gore,
10,000 volunteers versus 300 million Americans.
If Al Gore had been a better candidate, we wouldn't have this problem. He should have won his home state of Tennessee, shouldn't he? And he didn't handle the recount very well either. He essentially won Florida, but had stolen from him.
Well,
now, you can't blame Ralph.
That's all true, but that doesn't mean you can't
move the conversation in about three different directions. I would like to know if your candidate is so much for bringing, doing the best thing for America, why did he stay in the race?
I will explain it to you.
You changed the subject.
I answered you.
You said that Al Gore should have been a better candidate. You didn't answer the question. I mean, you said that there's 10,000 volunteers. I guarantee you there were far more than 10,000 volunteers for John Edwards, for Wesley Clark, for Howard Dean. Howard Dean had a whole army of motivated, supported Democrats who now understand that as much as they preferred Howard Dean over John Kerry, that the best way to beat Bush is not to vote for Howard Dean in the fall.
Well, as I said to you, Ralph was loyal to people who got him on the ballot. And if you want to punish him for loyalty, go right ahead.
It's not a question of me punishing him. It's a question of whether you are more loyal to Ralph Nader or you're more loyal to kicking out the worst president in my lifetime.
Let me tell you this. I will not vote for John Kerry under any circumstances. I disagree with him on many issues, from the drug war to the Iraq war to Israeli policy, even to Kyoto, and to a whole right. So I'm sorry. John Kerry is a corporate Democrat who does not represent my values. I want to vote for someone who represents my values. I'm not interested in voting for lesser of evils.
Well,
sorry, if that's not your position, that's my position. And it's a position that's going to be a position of millions of Americans on Election Day as well.
So, see, I don't think so, because...
That's what we want, okay? That's what democracy is about.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. It is the unfortunate reality of politics today that we seldom get to, precisely define our values through our votes. And let me give you an example. Big omnibus bills through Congress, you get an up or a down, yes or a no. Yes, you can change the bills, in the conference committees, but for the most part, you get a yes or a no vote. And so now we've discussed this with Nader. Let me put it to you this way. If God himself told you that if you voted for Kerry, Kerry would win, and if you voted for Nader or Bush, Bush would win, which would you choose?
I'm not going to vote for Kerry. I'm sorry. I believe in democracy. People vote for what they believe in. As long as we continue to vote, and I say you unreachable, as long as we continue to vote for lesser of evils, we'll get lesser evils. And I'm not into that. I'm done voting for people I don't believe in.
See, the problem with this is that what basically I hear Kevin Z saying is that it's okay if the worst evil gets into power as long as you're pure with your vote. Let me read a comment that Nader told the New York Times when he talked about Al Gore losing the election. And Nader said, this is a quote, "I remember how Jim Watt, the Reagan administration's interior secretary, galvanized the environment movement." In other words, Nader was saying, it seems to me, that if we get a really bad guy in office, like Reagan or George W. Bush, that'll make more people hate the president, and that will help Nader, but it won't help our country too much.
Yeah. Well, my goal is to make sure that we stand for what we believe in and to do our best to get rid of Bush by telling the truth about him. We can do that more effectively than Kerry can on many issues because we have differences with Bush on issues that Kerry does not have differences with him on. We can pull voters away from Bush's base that Kerry cannot reach, and so I think we are going to help to not only enrich the debate by putting positions out there that neither candidate stands for, we're also going to get rid of Bush. And if you want, you can call me back on November 3rd. We can talk about how it turned out. That's how I see it right now.
I'm afraid that'll be a little late.
I'm afraid. Giving us lip service. You just said a few minutes ago that there are no circumstances under which you would vote for Kerry. But just 3 seconds ago.
Well, I'll tell you that because I live in Maryland.
To pull votes away from Bush.
Listen,
these things are not compatible.
I live in Maryland. My vote doesn't matter. It's going to be a Democratic vote no matter what. If it's not a Democratic vote, it's a Bush landslide.
Okay, all right,
so
Kevin.
My vote doesn't matter.
Kevin, you raise a good point. You're right. Maryland, if Maryland doesn't go for Kerry, then we're in a landslide and we're in big trouble. I actually agree with you there. One of the things that happened in 2000 is this Nader traitor idea set up from
a few people,
and they came in and said, look, if you live in Massachusetts and
New York
and you want to vote for Kerry, but somebody who lives in Florida or Pennsylvania, one of the close states, and you want to vote for Nader, we'll make a deal. You can trade votes, which was later ruled illegal, but leave that aside for a moment. There was an idea that if your vote could actually make the difference in electing Bush in Florida or Pennsylvania, trade it with somebody in Massachusetts or Texas where it won't make a difference. And that seemed to me an interesting proposal. What's more interesting to me was that Ralph Nader was against that. He very much said, don't trade your vote. If you live in a close state like Florida or Pennsylvania, you vote for me even if it means getting Bush president. Why didn't Nader support the Nader trader scheme? And before you answer that, I want to give our phone numbers out one more time. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. Please take me on, take Kevin Zeese on. Now, Kevin.
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, I'd urge you to visit votenader.org so you can find out what Ralph stands for and get involved in the campaign. We'd like to have everybody's help who believes in a progressive future. But on the other hand, on the other point on vote trading, you know, Ralph has told the media this time, I don't know what he said in 2000, but this time he said if voters want to do that, he'd welcome it. That's their choice.
Well, the first thing he said that I'm glad to hear, that he's changed his view on that, because I thought he was
I'm not sure he changed his view or not, but that's what he's saying now.
Okay, fair enough. Bert, you got anything more?
That's it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for calling in very much. We got to go to a commercial break. I told Kevin early on it would just be half an hour. Do you want to stay on for the last 15 minutes, Kevin?
No, I think I need to get off.
Okay. All right, thanks so much for coming on my show and for joining quite a spirited debate. I really appreciate that. We do have callers on the line, and we'll be back to your calls. And all you have to do is dial 877-57-SCOOP, 877-577-2667. Join the debate. Do you think Nader should get out of the race? Do you think Nader's a good guy? Do you think I was too harsh on his spokesman? What do you think? 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. And we'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after these messages, this Election Tuesday.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Unable to get all of the countries of Latin America to sign on to the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, proposal, the Bush administration has been approaching countries individually, offering World Bank loans and other economic incentives to developing countries in order to win acceptance for privatization and the weakening of laws protecting public health and safety. The latest country targeted is Panama, and negotiations with Colombia are set to begin next month.
2 weeks remain before some 100,000 service and support workers with SBC Communications hit the picket lines, and signs point to the company and Communications Workers of America preparing for the worst. The contract between SBC and the CWA expired last month, and federal mediation has not gotten the two any closer to agreement on rules protecting jobs from outsourcing and affordable health coverage. The union's arguing its side via advertisements on radio stations and in newspapers around the country. On the other hand, SBC is training non-union staff to handle maintenance and repair jobs. Billing managers are in crash courses on line installation and warns 12-hour shifts, including weekends, will be the rule in the event of a walkout.
Could the graveyard shift be coming to German retail workers? With the German economy suffering from years of stagnation and high unemployment, Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder hopes to boost spending and employment by allowing stores to stay open 24 hours a day. A similar move last year, extending Saturday store hours, didn't show a marked increase in sales, and German labor unions are opposing the changes because they said last year's extension of store hours actually eliminated jobs by further squeezing profits at smaller shops located outside city centers.
Trading provisions involving workers' rights in Europe in order to find consensus on a continental constitution. The United Kingdom says it won't sign one unless it gets an exemption from the European Union's Working Time Directive, which caps the work week at 48 hours. Germany has now agreed to support British amnesty on this issue so long as the British back a German push for stronger regulations dealing with corporate social responsibility. Whether the rest of the union will consent to this deal remains to be seen, but Germany and the UK do represent the two largest economies in Europe.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to new research conducted by the Center for Women in Work at Rutgers University, wage depression will continue to create a downward economic trend unless Congress makes policy changes promoting prosperity. Researchers found that high wages and good benefits support a middle-class lifestyle and the ability to purchase consumer goods. The researchers suggest raising the federal minimum wage above the current $5.15 per hour as a start in getting the economy back on track.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Even the score, when the GOP is leaving, I hope that they don't hit their heads on the door.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is your host, Mark Levine, taking the toll, taking the poll, finding out what's happening in America on Election Tuesday here. We talk the election about the election every Tuesday from now till November 2nd. If you have been listening, you've heard quite a contentious debate between myself and Ralph Nader's campaign spokesman, Kevin Zeese, and some of our callers. If you want to join in the debate, you can. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We had quite a fight, I think. I don't think Kevin Zeese answered my question as to why Nader was fighting in the contested states rather than the uncontested states. Why was Nader in Florida the weekend before the election rather than in Massachusetts or Texas? And, you know, Nader's spokesman, he responded accurately. He said, Mark, you have a bias. You're an anybody but Bush Democrat. And, hey, you know what? I can see the point. I am an anybody but Bush Democrat, and that's why I'm not a big fan of Ralph Nader. But I want to hear what you think. The numbers are 877-57-SCOOP, or you can email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
Susan. I'm from Santa Cruz.
Hi, Susan from Santa Cruz.
Hi.
You think I was unfair, or was he unfair?
I think he's a little off balance.
Okay.
I'm sorry that he's not on. You know, I've been listening on my computer, and the time thing is so different. I didn't realize he was off.
Yeah, he just left.
I would have liked to have talked to him, but it's really difficult for me to understand how he can't see the forest for the trees.
I know.
Right in front of him, that, you know, the fact is that we have a president and administration that have taken apart our government, our freedoms, our economy, our entire system as quickly as they could, and it's to the point where it doesn't even hardly resemble America anymore as
yep.
we knew it, and how this guy could be so blind. And also, you know, when in the sort, you know, about a year ago, I was in the Kucinich campaign, and I still support Dennis, not to be president unless it happens that way. But there was a time, and I don't remember when it was, maybe, you know, 9 or so months ago, when Nader made it clear that he would put his backing behind Kucinich.
He said he supported Kucinich. Right, he said he supported
yes,
Kucinich.
If he had done that, Dennis would have picked up a lot of votes in
right.
a lot of places, like he is now. You know, I don't know if you've been following it, but in the states where he is campaigning now, he picks up a tremendous amount, like 50%, you
really?
Know, in Alaska and, you know, in all these places. He actually won some of them. And that's because people have, you know, there's nobody else to be in the way so they can actually listen to him.
You know, I don't think that Nader likes playing by the rules. I think
no,
at the end
doesn't.
Of the day...
I think he's a very spoiled child.
He wants to be pure. He wants
yeah,
to say,
yeah.
I never, ever...
He doesn't play well with others. He is not the kind of person that I would want in the White House.
He doesn't understand politics. You know,
politics
involves the essence. You got to compromise. You get as much as you can for what you believe in.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, if you can get 98% of what you want, take it.
Right.
Take it. Don't
right.
say, no, I want 100%. I was shocked, actually, in doing research for this show and
yes.
looking at Nader's past, like
yes.
the Air Quality Control Act, or we would have a cabinet position today that protects consumers if Nader had accepted 90% of what he wanted.
Exactly. Exactly. He could be in there doing some good in the areas in which he excels.
All he had to do.
He doesn't excel in politics. He's
exactly.
bad at it.
Michael Moore wrote in Stupid White Men, he
yes.
wrote that he was wrong at the end to support Ralph Nader, that he supported him all throughout. But in the last 2 weeks, he says in his book, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but Michael Moore writes that he called Ralph Nader, urged him to leave the campaign, to endorse Gore, and to make a deal where he could be in Gore's cabinet. If Nader had done that, there is no question in my mind, Gore would be president today, Ralph Nader would head the EPA or Consumer Protection or some other thing where he could do good in a way that he and Gore may have disagreed on foreign policy, but they definitely agreed on the environment. They definitely agreed on consumer protection. They definitely
right,
agreed on
right.
anti-corporation stuff.
Right. And, you know, one more thing, Mark, that, you know, so much of what he fought for and to put in place has gone spinning backwards
yep.
in this administration.
Yep.
That if he really cared about clean air and about all the stuff that he, you know, really pushed for in the past, what the heck is he doing? You know, it's all gone backwards. Bush gets in again. It's going to be even worse. I was told by a friend who went to Tahoe a few weeks ago that for the first time as she was going there, she saw pollution in the air even up that high.
Mm.
And
that's one of our most beautiful lakes.
Going on. It's all over California. I live in Santa Cruz. It used to be clean here. It isn't anymore.
Yep.
You know, God bless us all. We have to open our eyes at some point. And no, Kerry is not my ideal. He's not.
But he's a 1,000% better than Bush.
Well,
and that's the one thing we can all agree.
1,000%, and he may do some of the things that people predict he will. I'm very upset that he does not seem to have even a little teeny plan to really get out of Iraq. And I would like it if he would kind of listen to Dennis a little bit about that stuff.
I urge people right now on the
air to please pay attention to Dennis, to push for the platform, at
right.
least for our platform, to be more open and more progressive at the convention.
Susan, I want to thank you very much for your call and ask you
thank
to please
you.
Call back.
Oh, thank you. I will sometime. I think your show is wonderful.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate
okay.
that. Take care.
Thanks for being there. Bye.
I do think that Kerry has a position on Iraq. I agree it's not Dennis Kucinich's, which is pull out immediately. But John Kerry has said that he does want to bring in the United Nations. He wants to bring in international support. And I think, actually, that if John Kerry... I want to say when John Kerry, but I guess I have to say if John Kerry becomes president now that Nader's taken so many votes from him. If John Kerry becomes president, I'm convinced that the world will take another look at the United States, and will realize that we're not an arrogant nation. We had an arrogant president, but we're not an arrogant nation. And I think that John Kerry will be very likely to bring in international troops that support true Iraqi sovereignty, let the Iraqi people control their own destiny, and then really help us get out sooner. Certainly, Kucinich would get the troops out quicker, but there's no question that Kerry would get them out quicker than Bush. And look, you know, I admit it, I didn't support Kerry in the nomination battle either. I endorsed Wesley Clark. But I think John Kerry's a good man, and I think he's been really underrated in the media. I think he's got good values, good democratic values, good liberal values. I think he believes in freedom. He believes in a woman's right to choose. He is very careful about jobs being taken overseas. I think he's very responsive to that. I think he's very much would end a lot of the corporate corruption that we have in the Bush administration. He's a good man. And if you don't agree with him 100%, then you have a choice. You can either stay home or vote for Ralph Nader or vote for Bush. And in essence, all three pretty much do the same thing. There's no difference between voting for Ralph Nader and staying home. I mean, if you really want the best choice to run, pick yourself. I mean, there's no one candidate in the world that supports Mark Levine's views better than Mark Levine. But I don't vote for myself in every election because John Kerry is 80-90% there for me. So please, don't be tempted by Ralph Nader. There's a reason why all these Republicans are giving Nader money. They're giving Nader money because they know that a vote for Nader is a vote for Bush. And as Angel Lopez, one of my frequent writers, writes in an email when talking about Ralph Nader getting all these people signing petitions for him to be in the race, she writes, don't people know that most people signing those petitions are Republicans signing it for Ralph Nader because they know it will hurt the Democratic vote? Good point, Angel. Hey, one last point I want to make on how we have the inside scoop that even the Washington Post doesn't have. There's one insider you should listen to on the inside scoop, and it's me, with all due immodesty. And that is that on today's Washington Post, I read about Michael Rubin. Now, those of you that are frequent listeners know that Michael Rubin came on my show Sunday. He was the only person, the only American in the coalition provisional government there in Iraq that actually left the safety of armed guards, left the safety of the Green Zone to find out what was going on in Iraq. And he reported that the progress going on in Baghdad that happens is despite us, most of it, rather than because of us, that people in Baghdad think they're heading towards civil war, and that people are stockpiling guns provided by no other than the United States of America. That's right. The CPA, our ruling government there, gives the weapons to the Iraqi police. They sell it on the black markets, claim that they've lost their weapons, and then they're promptly resupplied by good old us, the United States. He also reports that there's frequent electrical outages and frequent explosions that are not reported in the mainstream media. The Washington Post tried to get Michael Rubin to find out if this memo that was written was actually by him, and he wouldn't talk with them. But he would talk with me, and I'm very glad. It was a terrific show last Sunday. I hope you'll check it out on the archives. We've got our show's about to end, but we've got a great show tomorrow. Tomorrow, I've got my interview with none other than the President of the United States, the guy appointed by Scalia to be our president, George W. Bush, responds to my questions tomorrow here on the Inside Scoop. Don't miss it. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific. This is Mark Levine signing off.
About the middle class, but the giant corporations get all the cash. We got a $500 billion deficit. It's time to make the Republicans quit. Yeah.
take the rejection. They counted the votes in a web of deception. The GOP stole the election. It's a good thing that Saddam was captured, hiding in a hole just like